Good morning, everyone. Happy Sabbath. How was your week? Remember, week is a time for us to be strong. It's not a time for us to be weak. So we spend the whole week in order to get strength. But today is the day when we receive the greatest blessing of the week. Today is the day to be strong, the day that the Lord has brought to us. Now, how many of you have a bulletin? Okay, would you please look at the cover of the bulletin? I have mentioned to you before that every single time we take time to make the cover of the bulletin, we try to send an extra message to the cover. So what do you see in the cover of your bulletin? God is in control. And here is the universe that he has created. And then below that picture, what do you see? You see the word control. What is the center of control? What makes control something very unique here? What do you see in the center of control? You see a plus sign, right? You see the cross. And what do you see as part of that cross is Jesus Christ himself. Okay? So I want you to have that picture as we go through this message. Control is not a bad word. Young people, control is not bad. Depends who does the controlling. Right? If you have somebody that is very bad and tries to control you, he's trying to control you in order to harm you. But if somebody like God, like Jesus Christ, who did everything to make sure that he regained the control that we lost to our enemy, and he gave his life. When Satan took Jesus Christ to the cross, he thought, now, after 4 years trying to kill the Messiah, finally, I got it. And he thought that that was the day when he won the battle. And he didn't realize that it was a time when he was defeated forever. Because when Jesus Christ said, it is finished. What was finished? Satan, it was finished. Yes, you're going to be around for a little while, but you're done. You're done. The humans will be in the kingdom with me, and I'm here as their creator to guarantee that that is possible. So today, when we speak about control, please understand, control is not a bad word. Control is actually one of the most beautiful gifts that God has given to every creature that he has created. So let's read the verse again. For the Spirit of God, that God has given us, does not make us afraid. It's not a spirit that makes us timid. It's not a spirit that came to us to limit us, to control us, in the sense to diminish us. But instead, his spirit fills us with what? Power. Anybody here likes power? There is somebody there in running Russia that likes power a lot. You know, Russia is the biggest country in the world, and they still have to covet and get some more from somebody else. It reminds me of a guy a long time ago that has a little mustache right here, you know, who I'm talking about. He wants more and more. First he went and got Czechoslovakia, but then he continued, and the world kept saying, oh, he's going to stop here, and he continued. It looks like history keeps repeating itself, and it's going to go. And if you want to learn about the future, just have a little look at the past and you see what is coming up. Okay? So he says his spirit fills us with power. And what is always wonderful, I don't know if you notice, a little details, I like details. I always find details. Look what it says, power, and then there is love, and there is self-control. Isn't it wonderful that love that God provides always is between power and self-control? Love is right there to make sure that both ends make sense. And so we don't have to fear power when love gives us ability to self-control. It is beautiful. Today's message, as we already mentioned, control. But what kind of control? Control in a positive sense. Control is a gift. Control is not a demand, okay? And I want you to look the word control in a positive way. When God created, he gave to human beings the gift of self-control. What is that? Then God said, and now we will make human beings like us, meaning God gave us the power to reason. When he gave us the privilege to reason, he gave also the responsibility to use that rationality in order to make decisions, to control our lives. It says they will have power over creation. Not power in order to demean, but power to serve. So every single time that we receive power, it is to serve. Now continue, losing self-control. So Satan lost control in heaven, so he came looking for another place for him to exercise control. And he came to this planet, and he talked to Eve, and he told Eve a lie, and she kept listening to them. And by the way, young people, when you get to your dad was talking about here, when you go to your social media and start playing over there, when you open a computer, when you open a book, when you talk to someone, please be careful, because control is something that's gradual. It grows. It's, first is a seed, and then it grows. For example, when you meet somebody for the first time, I want everybody to think about this. When you meet somebody for the first time, you look at the person's eyes. The moment that you look at the person's eye and the person look at you, you gave something to that person. Then that person received what you gave to that person. Then the person asked one little more thing. What's your name? So you give your name. You give another connection to that person. Then you keep talking, and that person says, what do you like? Then you tell the person your diet. And then you continue talking. The person asks, where do you live? So you give another detail to that person. Oh, may I call you? What's your cell phone? Your phone or your cell phone? Then you give some more. And the more we build a relationship, the more control we give. Because information is control. And the more you give, the more control someone will have on you. That is the negative aspect of control, but it's also part of life. I don't know how many of you, please do not raise your hand, I don't want to know, how many of you have Facebook or Instagram or any of those tools. Don't raise your hand. You didn't hear that part of my, don't raise your hand. We don't want to know. All that I want you to say to you is that don't be a fool. Nobody gives you anything unless they want something. And when you open your email and somebody says, you just have been selected to have $100 credit card gift, just click here. And there you go. Here goes my control. You give the person, excuse me, you give the person information. You give that person permission to read what computer, the serial number, what computer, you, where are you calling from? And we give, and we give. And sadly, the part of our society, the young people, they are more concerned about control. They don't want to control. Oh, you're controlling me too much. Or you, they don't want control. They avoid all sorts of things that they call is controlling them. And they are the ones who give more control to people without knowing. Sadly, this happens to Adam and Eve the same way. Satan came and he knocked and he started talking to Eve. And Eve started giving little by little, little by little. And Satan started talking, make connection, get more. And he says, just like a little fly that hit the web, and the more the fly tries to escape, the more it becomes tangled in the web, and then becomes food. And that's it. For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be open. Was she blind? Did God create Adam and Eve blind? They were not. Same way that the people send you a bait on the web, Satan was fishing, and he had a bait, and Eve was going for it. And you will be like God. She was already like God. She was created in the image of God, knowing good and evil. That's a lie. God does not know good and evil, like we mentioned last week. And so that was a lie that she chose to believe. You will not surely die. So when the woman saw that the tree was what?
Good.
Of course was good. God does not make anything that's not good. You see, when somebody tells you, oh, by the way, do you know this, and tells you something that you already know? Sometimes we say, oh, yeah, I agree. You're telling me that I am old, or I'm young, or I am a male, whatever. There is something that is already a fact that you can look at the person and you think this is a fact. Why would people repeat something that you already know? In order to connect with you. They repeat the obvious because they want to search for something that is not obvious. They want to go to the next level. So don't be naive when somebody says, oh, you are a good-looking person. And then you say, okay, the fishing started. What else are you going to go for? And they do. So Satan did this. It was good for food. And then it says that it was pleasant to the eyes. Of course, everything, the Bible says everything God makes is beautiful. Yes, everything. And it says the tree was desired to make one wise. That was a lie because the purpose of it, it was to introduce evil. Evil does not make us wise. Have you seen any very bad, mean people out there that they are very intelligent, very wise? No. They may be very well informed. But wisdom does not allow us to make bad choices. That's what really the definition of wisdom. Wisdom makes us discern and makes right choices. Now, do smart people make bad choices by accident? Because if they do by choice, they are not that smart. And so some people say, oh, Satan was very smart. Yes, he was. But then he lost when he decided to turn his eyes upon himself. She took off its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And guess what happened to them? They lost control. One story in the Bible shows how one person loses control little by little. It's also the story of Cain. It says, why are you so angry? Why you lost your temper, Cain? Why are you such a long face? And the Lord asked him, why do you look so like with this long face, like something so bad? All that I did, I told you, if you do what is right, you know, I can accept you. This talks more about the nature of God. Because it says, if you do something right, it can relate to what is right. If you do something good, it can relate to what is good. That's what God was telling him. I cannot relate to you in a bad level because I'm not bad. I cannot go down because I don't belong there. I want to bring you up because you belong here. It's not. It's just a matter of perspective. Some people think that Cain felt all that, oh, I've been rejected because my offering was rejected. Now the offering was not being rejected. It was his attitude, because he didn't want God to be in charge. He wants to be in charge himself. And then he says clearly, you will be accepted if you do what is right. Anybody here knows what is right?
Yes.
What God, yes. Oh, even the young lady was so fast there. Yes, what is right is what God tells us is right. Why? Because he's right. So what is light is what God produced because he is light. If you do what is right, but if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Then consequences are coming. Sin is crouching at the door, not eager to control you. So what do you do, Cain? But you must subdue it. You must be in control. You must exercise self-control. You cannot allow sin to become your master. I feel very sad when I see young people saying, rebelling against their parents, because my parents are so demanding, all this and all of that. And then they go and get themselves in a friendship with all the people from the world, and they tell them, do this, do that, and they go and do it just because they want to be part of a group. How many young people, they despise their parents because too much authority, and they go and join a gang. And I don't know if you know much about gangs, but they really beat each other up sometimes. There's a element of fear, constant fear. In order for you to be part of something, there's control, a lot of control. Now, the world messed up. Why? Because there were a group of people there in the mountains. They called the children of God. And there is a group of people there on the valley. They call the children of men. And God has told from the beginning, and is still saying to this day, don't mess up with the wrong crowd. Don't get involved with the wrong crowd, because you're going to lose control of your life. But the Bible says, the sons of men, they look and they thought the sons of God looked and they saw the girls, the daughters of Ben, and says, they are such a good looking. And they fell for it. So they went down from the mountains to the valley and married what God told them. Don't marry them. Young people, you have no business in messing up with people that does not believe the way you believe. Don't do it, because you're going to pay such a heavy price. You can tell some members of ours here that have going through that terrible experience in their lives, and they can teach you how much a high price they have to pay for that decision. So don't do it. And I am very, very sensitive to even talk about this, because we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But I would like to say, for the sake of the young, we need to say, okay, those of you that have married outside of the church, I'm not going to apologize for talking about this, but I do have a responsibility. We all have a responsibility to tell our young people, don't make such a mistake. It is to have a burden that you have to pay. Don't. Yes, you're going to look at that little fellow, and he looks like a Superman, and you say, oh, this is the love of my life. Oh, I'm in love. No. Wake up. Don't give control to those that you're not supposed to, because it's going to mess up your life forever. A world without control is a world that is seeking destruction. Every place where there is lack of control, destruction is the next step. Always look around our society. Whatever there is no control, everything is destruction. Some people go to the streets and says, I'm here because I'm protesting something. And with that pretext that they are protesting something, they go and break the law. They vandalize and they rob, they steal and everything else. And they want to say that that is the right that they have to protest against some violence, and that yet they are using violence to condemn violence. Now it's just a poor excuse to lose their self-control. Look what happens to lack of self-control. Consequences. Consequences. Today, we live in a desert. Right? California is a desert. And I don't know how many of you are so happy this last winter, all the rain we got. Oh, praise God. I don't know how many of you have been on your knees and have thanked God for the rain that we received in California. Because I saw some pictures, I saw some videos of all the lakes that we have, artificial lakes here in California. They all very empty. And now they look gorgeous. Okay, so I'm very blessed for that. And I like rain. I came from a place in Brazil that rained a lot. Here is the word control. I'm going to put just a few on the screen. There are expressions, in control, then out of control, and then out of hand, forget oneself, almost lost it, and lost his head, lost his temper, and get a hand on. So those are expressions that relate to the fact of control. Now, self-control, what is self-control? Self-control is defined as the ability to manage one's behavior, emotions, or impulses, especially impulses, to achieve set goals. That's what self-control is all about. The Bible talks about the fruits of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, verse 22, verse 23, it talks about this. So we can look together. It says this. But the Spirit produces love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, and some version says gentleness. And then it says, and self-control. There is no law against such things as this. In other words, if you have all those qualities in your life, law is not a problem for you. Some people say that all Seventh-day Adventists are under the law. Honestly, we are the only ones who are not under the law. What it means under the law? Anybody under the law is that the law has a claim on them. The law has a claim against those that are disobedient. The law has no problem with those that are obedient. If you drive your car here and there are a lot of control signs, 35 miles an hour, that is a control. Then there is a stop sign, that's a control. And then there is this big eye that sometimes is green, then sometimes it becomes yellow, and sometimes it turns red. It says stop, like angry, and you better stop there. So, yeah, there are some eyes there. And there are cameras also. Somebody somewhere is looking at you. All those look like a control things, right? They are. But they are controlled in order to keep order. Those of us that drive the way we're supposed to, those things don't bother us. It says green, I go. It says red, I stop. It says the yellow, I speed up. No, you should go slow. So we have to understand that there is control in every aspect of our lives. Control is not a bad thing. It's what keeps us organized. It gives us respect for each other. It protects life. It protects living. So our society today, it is very much against control. If you look around, if you look on the news, how people despise those that want to control them. Why? Because they don't want control. They want to do the controlling themselves on their own terms. For the Spirit of God has given us, does not make us timid. That's our scripture for today. Instead, His Spirit fills us with power, love, and self-control. That's 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. Now, brothers and sisters, self-control is a gift that every child of God must have. If you call yourself a Seventh-day Adventist Christian and you do not exercise self-control, something is wrong in that picture. Self-control is a quality that everyone admires. I don't know about you, but I admire people that have self-control, people that have discipline, people that have dignity, people that say, I'll be there at 2 o'clock. At 1:45, the person is there for sure. That is respect. That is a person who has self-control. It is a gift of the Spirit that enables us to act as a child of God. That is a vital aspect of our life. We need self-control. What is the importance of self-control? Self-control is essential for a successful life. If you have a self-control, you'll be good as an employee. You'll be excellent as an employer. You'll be an excellent as a voter or a candidate or anything you do in life. If you have self-control, you will be admired. It regulates our behavior and helps us achieve our short and as long as our long-term goals in life. My wife and I, we go once in a while to some restaurants to eat out. And there was one particular restaurant that we go, that families go there. And we see a family comes and sit and have the place for their children, sometimes 3, 4 children. And they are sitting there, and the children yell and take something, throw, and there's more. It looks like a buffet and under the table. You know, they have food everywhere. And the parents are there like they don't care. And then it comes to my mind, this is the kind of children sometimes going to end up breaking to a church and trashing a church. This is some type of children that goes through life later on, damaging all the properties with some gang signs. You know why? Because from very young age, they are not being taught respect for what belongs to somebody else. I'm going to brag about something here that the Lord knows that it's not my intent to do so, but I will do this. When my wife and our children went to a restaurant, we left always the table as clean as was when we got there, or even better. We do this even today. We never leave a table in a restaurant until we set all the things in place, clean everything else, pick up everything else. Why do we do? Because we are control freaks or clean? We do because that's the way you show respect to what you have and to what you wish to be. It is very important for us to have decency in everything we do. Don't do because of others. Do because that's the way you are. Amen. Don't live your life for others. Live your life for you, and then everybody else will be happy that you are around. Sometimes we are so concerned about others that we don't take the most important part. Is what you are that should be a reflection what God wants you to be. An important self-control. Some people have a very bad self-control as pertaining to food. I used to be a pastor of a church that was very, very, very conservative on the matter of health. They had seminars. I remember once that they paid one individual $4,000 just to come and speak for 1 hour. That's how committed they were in health issues. So I became a pastor of this church. And so they have their lunch, and all this is has no cheese, this has no eggs, this has this, and all those descriptions, and they were very, very committed. And I'm not saying this in a sarcastic way to criticize them, but they were very committed. But I noticed something that I said, do they see the same thing that I see, or am I the only one who can see this? In one corner, there were two tables. and then all those sweets over there. And I said, here they are serving all this healthy food, but all the temptation, I call the temptation table, was there. And I noticed that the people, they will come take a little bit of the food, but they are so quick to go to the sweet. Brothers and sisters, we have to live a life that has balance. Yes, it's not good for us to eat something that is very harmful for us. It doesn't matter if it's sweet or if it's not sweet, whatever it is. We need to have balance. That's what self-control comes. Food. Sometimes people eat as they want to. It's almost like today is the doctor told them you have one day to leave. So they go to a restaurant and eat like it was the, you know, they are just saying farewell to the world. They eat. Lust, money, our words. Yes, we can find ourselves overwhelmed with the consequence of our lack of self-control in many areas of life. Sometimes people don't realize you eat too much and then you get this individual in your back called weight. You know, have you ever met Mr. Weight? He always go for a ride on somebody else's back. And sometimes people keep carrying them all the way. It's just like this thing stuck on your back that you have to carry. And your knees hurt because says, can you, don't you realize you can extra 60 pounds in your ear? It's been heavy on me. Why are you carrying this guy on your back all the time? Get rid of Mr. Weight. And your joints. What about what your heart tells you? Your heart's telling you, you're killing me. Leave that food alone. You're killing me. So please be careful how much of Mr. Weight you put in your shoulders, because he's a half dude. It's not good to be carrying him around. The Word of God warns us that if we do not have self-control, we will be slaves to what controls us. It is very important. Types of self-control: emotional, control our impulses. Health, control our habits. Mental, control our thinking. Time, control our spending. Spending, you know, time. Some people don't really understand that time and money is the same thing. Money is just time converted into currency. So whatever you give your money, you're giving your time. So it says here, control your spending. How do you invest your time into relationships? How you let business or your work or your money control how you spend the quality of your time? Loss of self-control, there are many factors that can contribute to the loss of self-control. Here are some of them. Any person without self-control is a disaster in the making. And by the way, no one knows how to lose a self-control better. I don't know if I should say this, but I will say. A fool. Fools are masters and lose their self-control. They make fools of themselves all the time, and it looks like it gives them joy. Possible factors of a person lose their self-control: stress, temperament, lack of discipline, that's the strong one. People who have never learned how to effectively manage their impulses and emotions, they are the ones who lose self-control all the time. Why? What causes it? Possible factors: indifference, no fear of consequence, no self-respect, entitlement. There are a lot of human beings today that are being raised with assumption they are entitled to do whatever they please. Have you seen that lately? It's everywhere. Self-control makes the man. A man without discipline is a boy full of reactions, rather than a man of good actions. I like this when I saw this Greek proverb. It says, self-control makes a man. A man without discipline is a boy full of reactions rather than a man of good actions. That's how important. Now, this is what the Bible says. I think you're gonna mark this in your Bible. This is a very good one. Loss of self-control. It says, those who do not control themselves are like a city whose walls are broken down. It's like an individual who has no protection against himself or against anybody else. You become your worst enemy because you tear down the walls that are supposed to be protecting you. Proverbs 25:28, New Century Version. Here's another one. Better to be patient than to be powerful. Better to have self-control than to conquer a city. Excuse me. That's Proverbs 16:32, New Living Translation. I am allowed to do anything. That, it says, Paul says, that's what you say. My answer to this is that not all things are good. Not all things are good. They may look good, but they are not. Even if it is true that I am allowed to do anything, Paul says, I will not let anything control me like a slave. God gave me the power, and I have to choose who I give this power to. It is my choice. Freedom in Christ does not mean we can disregard God's eternal principles and do as we please. Some people that are from all denominations have used this verse, the previous one, to tell me, you see, Paul says that we can do whatever we want. Grace is not an excuse for us to live a disgraceful life. Being self-controlled is the very foundation of living life of righteousness and selfishness that reflects Jesus and brings glory to God in our lives. Now, allow anything to control us other than Christ is a bondage, is a slavery. Use every opportunity to exercise self-control. Do not allow your opinions and emotions to override your good judgment that God has given you at your birth. Power of choice. This is one verse that everyone here is very familiar with. I can do how much? I can do how much? Through him who gives me strength. I would like to read this in a different way. It says, I can do everything through the one who loved me so much that he gave me the power. He gave me the power to surrender him my control. Because it takes a very strong person to be able to be humble. You know, the powerful, they don't think that they are really, they think that you get power by forcing other people. Real power is only those that are humble. They are really powerful. Lord, help me control my palm. Oh, I think this should be a prayer for all of us, right? Lord, help me control my tongue. Psalm 141, verse 3, it says like this. Help me be careful about what I say. You know, there are a lot of people, they could do a lot of good in life if they would say less. It says, take control of what I say, O Lord, and guard my lips. That's another version. Same verse here. What you say can preserve life or destroy it. Husbands, wives, parents, think very serious about this verse. And I hope when you get home, you read this verse again. If you are a parent, if you live with somebody else in your household, read this verse again. Let me continue to see the whole verse. What you say can preserve life or destroy it. So you must accept the consequences of your words. I never do this, but I'm going to do it today. Okay? Today I'm going to do it something different that I never done before. Today is June, what?
24.
It was June 24, 1984, that I was in a place like this in a church over there in Norfolk, looking very nervously at my watch, and I had an appointment for 4 o'clock. And everybody was there. We have candles right here. There was a man there with a camera. And there was somebody on the piano. And I was standing there dressed with a beard and a lot of hair still. And I was waiting. And I kept my eyes in the door waiting. And it was 4:40. And finally, the two doors opened, and this gorgeous girl came. And she has never left. She's still here until today. Today is our anniversary. 39. And I'm still in love with her more than ever.
Amen.
I have to stop because emotion came. Thanks for being part of my life. Thank you so much. And then, this is the last verse that we have. My dear brothers and sisters, always be willing to listen. Always. And be slow to speak. Do not become angry easily. Don't lose your control. Because if you lose, somebody else will find it. And somebody else will misuse it. Everything that is lost, somebody else finds. When you lose your control, guess who is the one who will be anxious to grab it? Satan. And everything that Satan grabs, what happens? He brings to destruction. If you lose your self-control, somebody's going to find it and will bring destruction to you. In conclusion, because anger will not help you live the right kind of life that God wants you to have. Have self-control. Surrender your life to God.
Amen.
I want all of you, please, it's not up on the screen, would you all open your Bibles in Isaiah 41, verse 10, please. Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Rick, you have a very strong voice. Would you like to stand and read, please? 41, 10. No. You just have a good pipe, so you go ahead, read, please.
So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am God. And I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my right hand.
Thank you. Let me read a paraphrase this verse for you today to conclude this message. My dear child, you don't need to fear because I am in control.
Amen.
I am with you every step that you take. Do not be overwhelmed. Don't be dismayed. Don't be discouraged. I am in control. He says, for I am your God, and that is my job. I create you, and I control all circumstances to make sure that the life that I gave you, you may keep it and keep it forever.
Amen.
I will give you strength. Don't worry, I am with you. I will help you because you're my child. I will uphold you. I will be the righteous hand beside you. I will protect you. I am your God.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, He is in charge. God bless you.